and just find my message here. Be fine and dandy. I think we've covered everything else. And oops, we have a hand. Alan has something to say. 6 o'clock. Does it say 7 here? Oh dear, oh dear. I do have that. Oh dear. Right. 6 o'clock. The dinner is at 6. Sorry about that. My mistake. Good catch. And we probably would have wondered where all the new members were. But anyway. All right. Excuse me. I want to talk about out of the portion today, essentially, is that every Shabbat can be a new Sinai. And I want us to consider for just a second what actually happened at Sinai, at Mount Sinai. And there was a lot of events occurred at this particular junction. First of all, Moses brought the Israelites up to the side of the mountain, Mount Sinai. Then Moses goes up to the Lord, up before the Lord, and he receives the identity for the people of Israel, for the Israelites, which was that they were to be God's treasured possession, and then their mission, in which they were to be the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what we talked about last week. Then the people agree to it. In other words, Moses comes down from the mountain, and the people agree to receive this identity and this mission. Then the people prepare themselves to actually meet with the Lord. Then the Lord appears. Then the Lord speaks and gives instructions to all the people. Then the people accept the instructions. Then the people and Moses make a covenant with God. And finally, there's a meal at the end where the elders eat a meal with the Lord, and that's the conclusion of this particular event. Now, in this, I would argue that in this event, the people of Israel have been transformed by the Lord. Consider who these folks were. These were slaves. All of these people were slaves. They had been slaves for hundreds of years. There was a slave mentality that was embedded into these people. And now suddenly, through the power of God, they'd been delivered out of Egypt. But now essentially, what is this group of people now? They are essentially former slaves who are being told to go into some new land which they didn't know anything about. But at Mount Sinai, these people are transformed. They become a new people with a new identity and a new destiny, and they meet with the Lord. And I would submit to you that every single Shabbat can be a new Sinai for each of us who attend these services. It's not that we get new laws, but rather I believe that God can transform people when they come into the presence of the Lord. And it's dependent in part, this transformation is dependent in part upon you and me and how we approach the whole situation. I want you to consider God's declarations about himself and about meeting with him. This is from the prophet Jeremiah. He says this, "If you seek me, and that with your whole heart, you will find me." Yeshua says, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." James says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." The Psalms say, "God inhabits the praises of his people." These are the kinds of things that can happen when we draw into the presence of the Lord together. The scripture says that when Moses met with the Lord, that his face became radiant with the light of God because he had met God face to face. Yeshua's followers, when they were gathered together at Shavuot long ago, which was actually a picture of Sinai because the Sinai event occurred at Shavuot, it says that the Spirit of God fell and they were transformed right in that very moment. And suddenly these timid, insecure group of people became bold and began to testify to thousands of those around about them. Why did that happen? It's because they were transformed by God into a completely new group of people. Now look, most of us, we live busy lives. Our work is often demanding. We have family responsibilities. Those of us that have children, you know, you're running kids in a million directions to various functions and so on. There's tons of distractions. And it's very easy to get sucked into just life. Right? Just life. We can become like Israel in Egypt We become slaves. Now, not slaves to another group of people, but rather slaves to expectations, to mediocrity, to the humdrum existence, to schedules. That's what happens to us in life. And yes, we can read the scriptures and we can see how God moved in the past, but what we really want to know about is today. Can things happen today that can transform us like it did at Sinai? And again, I would submit to you this, that every Shabbat can be a new Sinai. It really can be. We do what they did. What we do on every Shabbat is literally what they did at Sinai. We hear the call to worship, the Baruch Hu, that's the call to worship, right? And it's like hearing God from the mountain who's saying, come, come to me and into my presence. That's the way we begin the service. We snap to attention. Why? Because here comes the king. That's why. We stop talking. Normal life is suddenly suspended. We prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord. How do we do that? Our minds move from ourselves and from each other. And we begin to honor him. And we begin to praise him. And we begin to thank him through our songs and our prayers. And then what happens is when we do that, he comes just like he came at Sinai. Now, maybe there's no thunder and lightning, literally, like at Sinai itself, but thunder and lightning comes within our own hearts. And this is where the transformation takes place. When God appears to you and me as we're honoring him and worshiping him, we are changed. That's what actually happens. Something happens then. It's supernatural. It's inexplicable. This is what happens when we meet with the Lord. Then the next thing that happens is the Torah comes forth. The Torah is God's word. It's the covenant. It's Yeshua, because he is the word. The scripture says the word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. And so when the Torah comes forth, we all stand to honor this document and what it represents. We take, those of us who are wearing tallits, we take the tzitzit and we touch the Torah as it comes by. What are we doing? We're ratifying God's covenant as it applies to us. We're saying, this applies to me. This document, these promises, these commandments, these apply to me now, and I'm taking them upon myself. And we receive the Lord personally at that point. It's like at Sinai when the people heard the words of the Lord and they said, yes, we accept these words. We accept this mission. We accept this responsibility that God has given to us. And then what happens next? The very words of God are spoken in the same language that God spoke at Mount Sinai. We have to understand the Lord spoke in Hebrew. That's what he did. Why? It's because that's the language the people knew. That was their language. And so the Lord spoke the very words that we read here at the Torah. Those words were spoken exactly the same way 3,500 years ago, and now we're repeating them again. The Lord's words. Maybe we don't understand the Hebrew. Good reason to take Hebrew classes, right? But besides from that, when we do, the power of God's words and the meaning of God's word in his language, those are the words that he spoke, they come forth. Just the fact that those words are being spoken again like they were then has power and has meaning. And then we listen to the explanation, the drash, and later the message. I wanted to tell you this. When people come up here to give a drash, they have sought the Lord for what they're speaking. Like what Margaret said, very powerful message that Margaret gave today. She didn't just get that. She didn't just like sit down and just, oh, I'm going to give you some thoughts. She sought the Lord. The same is true when I come up and give a message. I don't repeat messages. I give a message after I seek the Lord to hear his words. So when people give a drash, and when I'm giving a message, it's like the prophets of old, speaking the very words of God to the people. And so that's what happens. We're proclaiming God's words. God's words are like fire. They burn up the trash, and they refine that which is good. That's what God's words do. See, sometimes the words of the Lord that are spoken here are unsettling. They should be. Sometimes they're challenging. They should be. Sometimes they're provocative. They should be. But always, they should be life-changing. That's the words of the Lord. And then what do? We eat afterwards. God's covenant meal, just like at Sinai. We eat together with the Lord as a community. And then when we leave, we should be different than when we came in. See, that's part of the reason I say this at the beginning of each service. When I pray at the beginning of the service, I pray that everybody who comes here would leave different than when they came in. Why? It's because God has been here. That's why. And if you come here with the right attitude and heart, you will be changed. You will be different than when you came in. That's the whole point. That's the whole goal of meeting with the Lord. The reality is, however, is that it doesn't happen all the time. We're not always transformed. And in fact, for some of us, it doesn't happen too often. And you say, why? Why am I not changed when I come in here? Well, what I'm going to say next, folks, I'm not targeting anybody. I just want to say that, okay? But it's going to be saying things that are going to apply to everybody probably to some degree. But don't think I'm thinking about you because it's not true. But the first reason why is actually I learned in a class recently that there's a difference between these two Hebrew concepts known as kava versus kavana. The word kava means routine. In other words, we come. Why do you come here? Is it a matter of routine? Has it become redundant? Is it an obligation? If that's the reason you come, you will not be changed. But if you come with kavana, which means intentionality, for purpose, then you will be changed. It's a question of coming out of obligation versus expectation. It's a question of coming with, is it one more thing that I have to do in my life? Or am I coming because this is my center where I'm going to be recharged, I'm going to meet with the Lord, and my life will be changed. When you come with that attitude, you will leave different than when you came in. There's no question about it. Number two, another factor that inhibits it being a transformation experience, lateness. Lateness. I thought it was apropos today that when we started the service, we had about 20 people. Now, it's a smaller group here than usual, but as you can look around, it's a lot more than 20. And I just want to say this. I don't mean to scare anybody, but this is what would have happened at Sinai. Remember, before they were to meet with the Lord at Sinai and hear his words, they had to prepare themselves. And so if they hadn't prepared themselves and they'd just shown up at Sinai, you know what would have happened? They would have been smoked. That would have been the end, just like that. Now, there's many examples in the scriptures that what happens when people treat God presumptuously. They get the axe. That's what happens. Now, I'm not saying if you're late, don't come because you're afraid of getting, you know, chopped off at the knees or whatever. But I am just challenging you that if you come late, you're missing out. You're missing out on the transformation that God can really do in people's lives. Number three, a third reason for not being transformed, coming and not being transformed, it's what I call distractions. We all have many distractions. And one of those things are like cell phones. And but cell phones go off all the time, as we all know. It's another one of these examples of where it's a bless, you know, it's like cell phones help us to stay in communication with people, but then the reality is that it becomes more and more interrupting in all that we do. The thing that's usually the things that supposedly save us time in life take more time, more distractions, and so on. And that's an example. But another example that often happens in here is talking with one another, even during the service. I remember being in junior high. And you know, I wasn't a good kid in school. I was a real troublemaker and so on. I was always constantly in trouble with in school. And I remember one time I was in this class in junior high math, and all of a sudden, got hit in the head with a piece of chalk. What happened is the teacher whipped a piece of chalk across the room and smacked me in the head with it and stuff, caught me off guard and so on. You know, that's, here I am talking in math class. How much more talking in the presence of the Lord? You see, when we talk, we're not giving our attention to the Lord, and we're putting them on one another. We have a lot of time. That's part of the reason for Oneg. We have a great amount of time to talk with one another and fellowship and do all this kind of stuff. But when we're here, when the Lord is present, our attention needs to be on him. And if we're talking, it's a distraction to be transformed by the power of God. Number four, the fourth factor is offenses. Doesn't matter how many times that we raise this issue of offenses. People get offended. That's just the way life is. Yeshua said it himself. Everybody's going to get offended at one time or another. That's the way it is. But Yeshua told us what to do. He said that we're to forgive one another, or else God will not forgive you, right? That's real clear, real straightforward. He said specifically about the very subject of offenses about coming into services is that before you come into the sanctuary, if you have aught against your brother, if you have an offense against another person, that is to be resolved first, and then you go and you worship the Lord. Why? Because the scripture says if that we harbor sin in our heart, the Lord's not going to hear us. Why come here and not be heard of God, or vice versa, or hear from God if there's a blockage and if there's an offense between me and another person? We've got to resolve these things. But what ends up happening is what happens is this. Is so many of us sit and we'll sit in a message like this, and we'll sit and we'll agree to all the points until it applies to us. Then suddenly we start to make excuses and rationalizations for our own behavior. But we know deep down that we're involved in a cover-up of the very things that are being spoken about. We know, because I've been there, I know. I know when the Lord's been speaking to me, or I've been in a place and the Lord's making it really clear, spoken to me, and I'm just trying to come up with every excuse possible as to why it doesn't apply to me. So I know that feeling quite well. It's bad news. It's amazing how quick we can find fault with the other when we're hearing an appropriate message. I wonder how often we say this, boy, I hope she heard that that's sitting next to me, right? Or, if only he would have heard it, if only he would have been here today, he would have heard it, it would have got him, right? I wonder how often we do it. But we remember that old adage, right? Many of us have heard it, that when you point the finger at the other, guess what's looking at you in the face? Three other fingers are pointing back to you. That's why when I give my messages, I don't point fingers, I always go like this. See? Then I don't get it. That's the point. You see, God placed the Shabbat in our lives for this very purpose. And that is to re-experience and to reenact Sinai every single week. But the greater transformation comes in our lives because of the death and the resurrection of Yeshua, which was revealed at Shavuot with the outpouring of the Spirit. Because it's not just reenacting Sinai, but it's also reenacting the Shavuot experience when the Spirit came forth and gave power so that we have the power to be changed and transformed. Unfortunately, the Israelites were not transformed enough because they all fell in the wilderness. But by the power of God through Yeshua, we can be transformed. I want to close with a story. And it's a story of the first time that I ever came to Mount Sinai, that I ever experienced the Lord, and I didn't even know what I was experiencing. I was 17 years old. This was in 1969. I was invited to come to a group to hear about Yeshua. I wasn't interested. I wasn't interested because I'm Jewish, you know, and Jewish people don't believe in Yeshua. That's 1969. That was long before the Messianic movement. But anyway, I decided to go. I walked into this house. I still remember this. 1969, it was at the house of Larry Song. I still remember this guy. He was a Chinese-American, lived on Caddington Avenue in Silver Spring. I just drove by there. I was up in the Maryland area a few weeks ago and just drove down that street again, which is the same neighborhood that I grew up in. Just drove right past his house, Larry Song's house, fall of 1969, was invited to come to this meeting. Walked in, place was jam-packed with young people my age from my high school. As soon as I walked through the threshold of the door, there was something different. I didn't have any, it was just, wow, what's going on here? Didn't know. Had no idea what it was. Sat down, listened to some songs, worshiping God. Then I heard the message about Yeshua. Didn't understand anything that went on. But all I knew was there was something there that I had never before experienced. And it began a process of transformation for me. Each week can be that way. It really can be that way for each of us, because God has promised us that every Shabbat can be a new Sinai. It doesn't have to be something of the past. It can be every week. The Lord can transform us. But we are to come on time, with Kavanah, with a forgiving spirit. And then you come with that attitude, you will be changed. And your Shabbat will be like a new Sinai. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. I thank you that the experiences of your word, Lord God, continue from one generation to the next, Lord, and from one week to the next. It's not just, we're not just reading a history book. We're not just remembering the good old days, Lord God, of what you did. But Father, it can be something that is re-experienced and reenacted week after week after week, Lord. Father, get our hearts ready and ripe for that, for a transformation, Lord. Father, we know that a transformation only comes when we submit to your ways, when we put Yeshua first, Lord, when we acknowledge him as Messiah and Lord, Lord God, no matter what our background is, Lord. And that, Father, we receive him as Lord and Savior and Messiah, and he transforms our lives. That's the beginning, Lord. But, Father, we know it doesn't end there. It just continues and continues. And I just pray for each of us, Lord, that we would come on each Shabbat, Lord, with a right and ready heart to meet with you, Lord, and then to be transformed into your likeness and into your image. And that when we leave here, oh God, we will leave different than when we come in. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. And let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yared Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. Bookstore is open for the visitors and for anyone else who needs to get something. Downstairs is Oneg. Please join us. We'll see you next week.